You have most likely seen Andy Warhol prints, even if you didn't know what you were looking at. Portraits of Marilyn Monroe with sky blue eyelids and crimson lips, or red and white soup cans from Campbell's. Warhol started as a commercial illustrator and then made waves in the modernist New York art scene in the 1960s. The High Museum in Atlanta now boasts a huge collection of 250 Warhol prints, nothing like it anywhere else in the Southeast. With me now is Michael Rooks, curator for modern and contemporary art at the High Museum. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
Why so many prints?
Well, the prints are from a single collection. They're from the collection of Jordan D. Schnitzer and his family foundations. And Jordan has amassed perhaps the largest collection of prints in the country in private hands. And so he's been passionate about collecting in depth certain artists, and Warhol's one of them.
What makes Warhol still iconic at this point? In other words, there was a certain amount of disruption that came with Warhol's art. He was disrupting the standard, but that it's been decades since that disruption, and it's no longer disruptive anymore. So why does he endure?
I think he endures because he was truly prescient in his recognition that the image has this power over how we mediate our lives, how we operate in the world, and that at the time in the post-war years that images and marketing were beginning to become a dominant kind of directional force in how we think, how we buy things, how we, you know, the priorities that we make for our lives.
So for listeners who are not part of the art world or purchasing art, what's the difference between the poster of a soup can that Andy Warhol painted that they buy off the internet and an actual fine art print?
Well, prints are editioned typically. The early prints in the exhibition you'll see he made as giveaways. So in the early 60s, in his exhibitions, he'd make prints to give away as a marketing device, as a marketing tool. So those often are not editioned, meaning numbered. You know, you've got either an edition of 50, there's only 50 of them that exist, or later his editions often were 250. So that's the difference between at least the uniqueness of an edition print and a poster. Also, posters are typically made in the offset printing process, and these prints in our exhibition are, for the most part, screen prints.
What's the difference between an offset print and a screen print?
Offset printing is essentially what you see when you open a magazine. It's a mechanical means of reproduction on a large scale.
As opposed to somebody hand
pulling a screen.
Exactly.
Screen printing is a very simple process where you make a screen with an image that's masked on it, basically, and you pull ink over it. So it's a process that's really handmade.
And it's interesting to me the irony of someone whose art was based on, even when he was doing a print of Marilyn Monroe, he's making a comment on how ubiquitous her face is. It's everywhere, right? And yet the Warhol prints that are valuable are the ones that were made individually by hand.
Yeah, well, I think Warhol made her image ubiquitous, right? I mean, today, how many young people today know who Marilyn Monroe was? But they know the image. They may not know who she was or what her films were, which films she appeared in, right? Or how she died, even, you know, the tragic suicide that Warhol, I think, was commenting on in this image that he appropriated from Niagara.
What does Warhol mean in a Southern setting? I mean, we're talking about a man who was so in and of the New York society and that culture. That does his art take on a different context when he's in Georgia?
I think today it resonates with the city of Atlanta, especially because, you know, there's a famous quote that among many that Warhol made, that the best art is business. And to be successful in business was something that he really aspired to. So he went from being a successful, as you mentioned, a successful graphic designer, really successful,
yeah,
as a young man,
yeah,
to a successful fine artist. And then in 63, he announced he's retiring from painting and he's going to become a filmmaker. And then in 67, he founded, or in 66, Edition Press, a press to make prints, which helped to fund the films. But then he became a publishing house. And then he founded Interview Magazine. So he's always innovating, and become, and business was always essential to his practice.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Michael Rooks, curator for modern and contemporary art at the High Museum in Atlanta. So how do you go about exhibiting Warhol prints in a way that might make people look at them afresh, as opposed to, I mean, these are images people have seen over and over and over again. Not all of them.
Right.
Some of them. Yeah.
Right. It was a lot of fun. But it is a challenge, right? Because we want to show, in some cases, the printing process, how that works. In other cases, such as the Maryland portfolio, for example, or the Mao portfolio, or the electric chair portfolio, we want to show each of the prints in the edition. And there's 10, typically, in each of these editions. And to show the differences between and among them. But, you know, there is the repetition. He was interested in repetition and seriality. And this, as you walk down a row of images of Marilyn, all of a sudden there is a sort of a cumulative effect that is powerful. You start to understand that what he's talking about in the prints is the black outline, the black photographic image of Marilyn that we're looking at is one side of Marilyn, and then the other side, the Hollywood glamour side, is all of the color that he then screen printed over top, the makeup that you referred to, the eye shadow, the mask. And so in a way saying this image that's fading into this colorful background is the real person that we lost when Hollywood and we, complicit in this, created a glamour icon who couldn't live between, you know, reality of her life and who she was in, you know, in her heart.
And it still resonates today in an era of the Kim Kardashians and even our president, the culture of personality, when someone becomes an image as opposed to the real person. I mean, okay, let me put it this way. As a curator, who do you wish or Andy Warhol had still been painting when he I mean, he retired fairly early, but who do you kind of wish he had included?
Oh man, that's a long list. Yeah.
Really?
Well, he made a lot of portraits, and in the exhibition, we end the exhibition with a portrait gallery, right? Because he took a lot of commissions. At the end of his life, everyone wanted a portrait. You know, whether you were a king, or a celebrity, or a politician, or an intellectual, a writer. So there's a lot of portraits he made, and it's something that he did in paintings, screen prints, in Polaroid photography, in film. The screen test. Anyone who came to the factory was asked to record their voice, and then they'd go to another space, and they'd be filmed. He'd point a camera at them, and they'd basically do whatever they wish. They can sit silently for the duration of the reel, for the roll of film, which is about 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah, he was like one of the first multimedia artists.
Yeah, but portraits are really important. So I think he would have found all of what we're talking about here with Kim Kardashian and this cult of celebrity and personality and reality television fascinating. Actually, he probably would have been an innovator with reality television.
And we would have had Warhol TV, maybe.
Absolutely.
What is the best way to prepare yourself for a Warhol exhibition? Is there any way to sort of quiet your mind so that the images become new?
I think so, yeah. I think the exhibition is all about kind of a return to reality in the post-war years. And I think to how the exhibition is laid out helps you do that, because we start with the early work in the 50s, the graphic work that reveals something of Warhol, his person, that he was a gay man, kind of out, but, you know, not, you know, he wasn't, didn't describe himself.
It was a known unknown.
It's a known unknown, right. But there are things in the early work, but that he's a graphic artist, you start to understand how he evolved as a person and how his biography starts to influence and have an impact on his career and how we, as an audience, begin to understand his influence on our visual culture.
So in the minute that we have left, what makes the High the right place for this enormous collection of Warhol prints?
Well, it's the largest Warhol exhibition. It's a survey, or rather a retrospective, of this artist's career from the, as I mentioned, the very beginnings of his career to the end of his life. It's done so, we do this through the lens of screen printing, which was foundational to his work. His paintings, the images in his paintings were screen printed, and then he basically painted the colors in. Yeah. So he then, in 66, 67, understood, well, let's just make prints and make multiples and make them democratic and make them available to as many people as possible. And so that democratization was really essential too. And so to be able to see this evolution of a life that's so influential still today from beginning to end, the High Museum is the only place to see it.
That's Michael Rooks, the High Museum's curator for modern and contemporary art. A new exhibition of those prints by Andy Warhol opens tomorrow at the High and runs through September 3rd. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you, Celeste.